Be together in the house of the Lord to worship him. And I want to welcome a new member to the team, this young man right here. He's doing an awesome job. He joined us last week, and we're thankful to have the young ones stepping in. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me as we open up with a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the privilege it is to come together as a family that's united by your love. We're thankful that we can follow you as you are leading us by your Holy Spirit. And I just pray, Lord God, that you will be lifted up today as this song that we start with declares, and that you will have freedom to speak to us and to minister in our lives as we trust in you. We just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's lift the name of the Lord on high, shall we? Here with us. We're thankful for your Spirit who is in us and brings us together with oneness. We just give you thanks for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the next song, encouraging song to realize that when you're going through difficult things, difficult times, you have the power of God in you to not just make it through, but to survive victoriously. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Can you imagine that? He lives in you. I mean, that's just like, wow. But sometimes we just feel the burdens of whatever we're facing. But this song, I hope, encourages you about who he is and who you are in him.
The same power that commands
Through the challenging times. We need that. We need to know you're there always. And I know you are. Hallelujah. As we continue to worship the Lord, we'll have an offering at this time, and I'll just pray over that offering, knowing that it will further the kingdom of God as you continue to be faithful. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I pray that God truly does bless you for your sacrificial giving. Lord, we're thankful that we can give. We're thankful that you have made it not just an encouraging word to do so. You've actually told us, in some respects, the only time you've ever said it, test me, test me. And it's the one thing we can do that doesn't sound totally insane, to test your provisions, your blessing as we give. We know that you have encouraged us as followers to tithe. And you've even encouraged us in many ways to give above and beyond. Not for the sake of saying, yeah, look what I did, but to see what you can do. To do with the funds that are placed into your care. I pray, Lord God, as one of the leaders of this church, that we are faithful and good stewards of the money we receive. That it will be for your kingdom and not this little kingdom on earth. That there is no such thing. It's yours. It's all yours. And so I pray, God, that you will help us as leaders to spend wisely the provisions you've given. And so we give you thanks, Lord, and we pray your blessing on all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. While we continue to sing, you're welcome to come with your offering. Do it online, do it in person, however you're led. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
day. All who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy as deep cries out to deep. We say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit. Cries out to deep, as deep cries out to deep. We sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord done. the Holy Spirit face, because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy Spirit face, because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am weak, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am weak, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks.
Lord, we are thankful. Sometimes it's hard to be thankful when the circumstances aren't so good. But you never told us to give thanks when the circumstance works our way, when it's easy going, when there's no challenges, no attacks from the enemy. We're supposed to be thankful in all things. And the reason why we can is because of the very thing we just sang about. Everything is meaningless. There's nothing new under the sun. The end of the matter is this: to love you, to follow your commands. And the reason we can do that is because you gave your life. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me that much. And I thank you. And I do my best with your help to always be thankful. To just look at things through your eyes and know that whatever is difficult only makes me stronger in you. We can all say that as we lead our lives into this Thanksgiving time. To be thankful. To be thankful. Circumstances might stink. They may not be so great. But you know what? We can be thankful because you gave your life for us. And that's enough. That's enough. I pray your blessing on each one as we consider a thankful heart as we lead into the message and what you have for us today. Thank you, Lord, for being with us today in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're welcome to be seated at this time. Well, thank you so much for coming today to worship and to have a heart open to the Word of God. I'm going to take just a few moments to draw some attention to announcements.
You should have, should have received a little flyer in the bulletin. We'll do this again next week. A preacher in the patch and friends. Hot off the press. Had a gentleman stop by this last week to encourage us and ask for our support. You know, the least we could do is pray. Excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. We can be involved in other ways as well. But I wanted you to be aware of it. December 2nd through the 5th, they've done this ministry before. Some of you probably attended. And if you're looking towards just finding encouraging words and challenges from the Word of God in a celebration atmosphere of what God is doing in our lives and in our community, I encourage you to attend. It's December 2nd through the 5th, all evening services. And so it does work with our calendar. And so I encourage you to be a part of that if you can. And other things are in the bulletin. Christmas program practice again today during our kids' church time. And there is the other practice for the adults after service at 3 o'clock. And then a dress rehearsal will be December 4th. Just be aware of that, where everyone comes together to do their part. Tuesday, there's no fitness activities that evening on the schedule. I guess you have to stay home and do your fitness training. It's funny, I went elk hunting a couple weeks ago. Some of you are aware of that. And I put on, apparently according to my watch, which counts the steps, 28 point something miles. And it was all like walking up and down the cliffs of Mikoshika. And I thought, wow, that's a lot. Well, I went out with a couple guys on Friday and got a hunt in and finally filled one tag at least. And it was mostly flat walking, but I was kind of shocked when I came to the end of the day and I had walked 9.8 miles in one day. I was like, wow, a couple more days of that and that's going to break the record of the elk hunt. But it was actually a lot easier walking. So we put some miles on, but that's okay. So anyway, all of that to say, hey, you can exercise on your own. Just get a tag for hunting and away you go, right? Wednesday, there's no kids' quest or youth because we have an early out, and that's just our policy that we do here. And because I'm going to be traveling on a trip for family Thanksgiving celebration, and others will be as well, we're just not having dinner church that night. But we're encouraging people to attend the Thanksgiving meal. And Charlene, did you have anything to add to that? Amen. And I know that there's been many people supporting that to allow for you to have the funds to purchase those things, and donations are always accepted for the next year as well. So we appreciate that. Thank you for that. And honestly, because that is part of the reason why I decided no dinner church, because we have a wonderful chef, cook, baker, etc., that puts together our meals every Wednesday, and she doesn't need to do that Wednesday and Thursday. So we want her to enjoy Thanksgiving as well. That's a lot of work that she puts in. So thank you, Charlene. Decorating, help needed. So the word's there. If you want to help out on the 3rd, Janice is in charge, and you are, if you're able, join her for that. Men's prayer breakfast. I missed the last one. Totally my fault. Just didn't remember, and I should have, but I didn't. But it's still going, so make sure, guys. And if I'm not there, send me a reminder text because I probably forgot because I'm not part of the leadership team on that. So anyway, Gals Christmas Party, youth camps, make sure you get that in before the 31st. Young people, if you are wanting to go to camp and all that's good, we good? And I'll dismiss the kids for the kids' church practice at this time. And they can go to the kids' church. It's kids' church Christmas program practice. That's probably the better way to say it. And while they're going, turn with me into 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now, if you missed last Sunday, I shared some really interesting new angles or thoughts about the silent years and how important they played a role into what led to Jesus going to a cross. I have the unfortunate bad news to tell you that partway through the audio video of the preaching time, the audio just went silent. And so I apologize for that. I don't know what glitch happened. We're hoping that won't happen again. But unfortunately, you missed out on some really punchline kind of information that I was so excited to share. I don't know how to relay that back to you again, other than if you have questions, I can try to maybe put something together. My folks actually called and said that that happened, and they were really on the edge of their seat, and then it went silent, and they were kind of upset. And I thought, well, let's see if it's your device or mine. So I checked it out. And so my mom said, how about when we're together for Thanksgiving, you can have a little Bible lesson. So I thought, okay, that works. And so I'm gonna share in greater detail with my family some of those thoughts. But anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Let's look at this. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. We're experiencing some pretty crazy things today. Things I never thought I would face as far as our culture and what it supports and what it doesn't. It's just pretty crazy. It's upside down. What does that look like, these terrible times? Well, verse 2 kind of puts a little bit of a vision or a focus on it. People will be lovers of themselves. That's the exact opposite of our lesson today in Sunday school. Selflessness was the key word that I brought out. And we spoke to the relationship of husband and wife and that loving and what that looks like. Rather than being drunk with wine, which is illustrating the desire to take care of your own fleshly needs and be satisfied, pleasure or what have you, be filled with the Spirit, which means love as God loves through me to love one another, which is sacrificial love. So terrible times, what does it look like? Well, it's the opposite of God's kind of love. It says lovers of themselves. But that's not all. Lovers of money. And I want to tell you this. I've seen interesting things with that, lovers of money. I've seen people who were dirt poor struggle with this love of money. And I've seen people who are far, far from dirt poor not struggle with it. So just because you have money or don't have money doesn't seem to have a bearing on your love of money. I'm just throwing that out there. But that is the danger. This society loves selfishness, and so that's part of it. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Let's pray. Lord God, we are living in these days. And I suppose it could be argued that those days have always been. We can really, truly, honestly go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and see the failure in this regard. Not to the same level and degree that's being shown, but sin was present that day because we didn't love the way you called us to. And we're still struggling. Sin has been here all along, and all of these tendencies have been part of the fleshly desire. The problem, Lord, as you know, is that now we have permission to be exactly as we've just read. We are being supported by our society to be these things. Not just supported, but we're actually, in some instances, being encouraged to be exactly this. And it's destroying us. It's destroying our nation. It's destroying our world. And at many times, it destroys churches. And so, Lord, I know that you've called us back to a position of understanding, to be a people of thankfulness, regardless of the circumstance. And so I pray, God, help me to speak your words. Help us to hear them and be encouraged by them and challenged by them. And Lord, please give us the strength to live by them. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. One of the words that comes from this last days mentality in one translation says ungrateful, but another translation says unthankful. Ungrateful or unthankful are part of this last days society. Think about it. Even though we do still celebrate something called Thanksgiving in our society, it admittedly has lost its position of dominance. Other than a good Black Friday sale and a few good football games on a Thursday, we pretty much go from Halloween to Christmas anymore. If you don't see that, you must be blind. We're no longer a society that is thankful. But we now have become a society of entitlements and rights. That's who we are. Thankfulness is now directly dictated by how much or how little we get in life. We have forgotten what it means to truly be a people of thanksgiving or thankfulness. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Understanding that the law was given for Daniel to stop praying 3 times a day. And if he would not listen to the new law, which was unjustly put forward, he would be in danger of his own life. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. Now, I don't know if you've overlooked that before, but I think it often has been overlooked. Daniel gave thanks to God 3 times a day. He didn't say, oh, woe is me, the one who's persecuted, who's being targeted by these guys that don't want me to be close to the king. They don't like the God I serve and love. Oh, Lord God, come and avenge me. Come and break me free from this bondage. Make me so that I'm no longer a slave. Help me, Lord, to get out of this. No, he gives thanks. Unjust persecution, lies, and manipulation, and the man gives thanks 3 times a day. Oh, that I could learn from him. Knowing that God's law came before man's law, Daniel continued to pray. My prayers would have been a little different than him than giving thanks. I'd say, Lord, this isn't fair, this isn't right, this is unjust. Hear my prayer. Right? But no, he's giving thanks. What did he give thanks for? The love, the peace which passes understanding, knowing God's in control, no matter what happens, he's okay. Whether he dies or lives, he's in the graces of the Lord, and he will see him face to face one day. Maybe that's part of what he prayed. I mean, he ends in the lion's den. You know what? We, as American Christians today, absolutely refuse to think about the fact that God might actually bring us into a place that we would be in the lion's den. But throughout the Old Testament, it happened. Throughout the New Testament, it happened. God didn't set them free from the circumstance. He just went in there with them. And what does this man do? He gives thanks. Thank you, Lord, for being with me in this difficult time. Even though his life was in danger, under persecution, he continues to give thanks. Wow. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you know the story. They go into the fiery furnace. How hot was it? So hot the guy that opened the door died. That's pretty hot. I've stood next to a building out in the country on a farm where they lit it up and let it burn. And I was shocked and amazed that I couldn't get any closer than I was. I mean, wow, talk about heat. If you ever experience a house fire, a building on fire, full consumption, like, whoa. That's how hot this was, that they died when they opened the door. And what do these guys do? They walk in there, and the ropes burn off their bodies, but they don't even smell like smoke when they're out. Man, I can't even grill without smelling like whatever it is I'm using to grill with. Mmm, you smell good. We got one of those pellet grills now. We got a really good sale last spring, and we're just loving that thing. It just smells so good. But you know what? I'm smelling just like that now, so whoo, smell me. Not every day. We were playing a game last night, and my partner at the time was tempted to use the what stinks was the question, and we had to use the letter K, and she wanted to say Kevin, but she didn't have the courage to, so... I said, you should have, because I was drawing a blank. I couldn't think of anything that stinks with K. And they gave thanks. Make the intentional decision to give thanks. Do it. Number one. Let's look at the scriptures and see which way and how we can give thanks to God. Number one, everything. Thankful in everything. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through verse 18. I'm like, wow, this does not look right. I found Timothy. I'm getting used to using a real Bible again. Give me a break. My goodness. I've been using a tablet for so long. I love this Bible, by the way. I like pages. I'm just not very good at it anymore. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. There we go. And I'm almost there. Be joyful always. Woo-hoo-hoo. That sounds like Tigger, doesn't it? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That little Tigger, he's always happy. Even when he's naughty, he's happy. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I love this and I don't like this at the same time because it gives me no excuses for my grouchy behavior and unthankful spirit. God says, always be thankful in every circumstance. That means the things that are going great and the things that are not going so great. And it says here that it's God's will. And if God is sovereign and he has this perfect, special will plan for our lives, that means that nothing comes into your life but what God wills. Even this? Yeah. Even this, whatever this is, give thanks. It is God's will that you give thanks. So there it is. Thankful in everything. Well, that pretty much covers it all. Let's just go. Let's pray and be done, right? Well, let's get a little bit more detail. Let's do a number two point. We'll get through this actually fairly quickly if I don't get on bunny trails. Philippians chapter 4. I remember when I was young, had a favorite missionary from the Philippines, and I wanted to say Philippines chapter 4. Didn't understand why I couldn't say it that way. But then I learned English. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. Very similar kind of perspective. Do not be anxious about anything. Everybody say the word anything. Don't be anxious about it. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then we would love to submit a different verse. At least I at times would like to. And then God fixes it. Isn't that a good way to end it? With all these things, submit your request to God and He takes care of it. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be just perfectly fine. The circumstances will change and life is good. No, that's not the answer. The answer is, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here's God's promise to you. I will give you peace even when I don't change the circumstance. How do we know this? Because he wouldn't have had to say, which transcends all understanding, if he changed the circumstance. So God's promise to you is you're going to go through it. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be really hard. Very difficult. Matter of fact, maybe impossible. But give thanks and pray. Just cry out to me and I'll hear your prayers and I'll give you peace while you're going through it. I like it and I don't like it. Peace when it's not easy. Peace when it's really, really hard. Peace when it doesn't go my way. Peace, yes, peace, which surpasses or passes all understanding. And it's going to guard not just the mind, it guards the heart, the passion. And it's going to be okay. Why? Because God is with me in the fiery furnace. God is with me closing the mouth of the lion in the lion's den. God is with me when I go through the challenges that this life brings, when the world is so opposite of the world God would like for me to have as far as his kindness and his love and all that he has for us. One day we will live in the utopia, the perfect, wonderful world that is to come, but that day isn't today. Right now, this world is not your home. This is a foreign land, and you are the alien. You're the one that doesn't fit, and everybody knows it. So as we come into this Thanksgiving season and we sit around the tables and we have to do the most miserable thing and say something we're thankful for, how many of you still do that? You ever notice it's not very often someone says, I'm thankful that my life is basically hell on earth right now. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. I mean, the vehicle needs repair, I don't have enough money in the bank, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I got sick with COVID, almost didn't make it through, I'm glad I'm here, but I'm so thankful. It doesn't happen very often, does it? We try to think of something that feels good and say, I'm thankful for this. Because we've learned or we've lost the understanding of what a thankfulness spirit really is. And I want to encourage you, if you're going through a hard time, God is with you. Be thankful for that. If the circumstances are wonky and weird and difficult, be thankful. You're not alone. We all go through difficult, challenging times. If things are going well for you, be thankful. And brace yourself because it doesn't last forever. Hallelujah. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. There are probably certain preachers out there that 'd be mad at me for saying that. But I digress. A thankful attitude brings rest to your heart, puts your mind at ease, peace which passes understanding. So number 3, thankful for every believer. Yes, I'm thankful for you. I hope you're thankful for me. 1 Thessalonians. We have an obligation and a privilege to encourage one another. Amen. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I might have skipped a couple of verses back there, but we'll move on anyway. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So the apostle is being thankful for the followers of God. Thankful for the believers that have heard the word and received it. And I'm thankful for you as well. Because, honest, I need you. And you need me because we're a family. And it's difficult in this society to truly interact the way we should. And I really spoke to that when I was trying to portray the idea of the dinner church ministry. That church used to be around the dinner table. It used to be not a head guy standing in the proclamation position to tell what God's word was, but it was basically families and friends and neighbors sitting around the table talking about the Lord, encouraging each other one-on-one, face-to-face, loving and caring for each other's needs. We've lost that in our society. That doesn't mean we have to give up. I think we can find new ways to be that loving family together. And I pray that you know that. It is something that God is leading us towards. Let's be thankful for one another and thankful for the believers that are in our community that aren't part of our church because we're all on the same team. We're all working together for the goals of reaching out to others who are hurting and need Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So imagine this. It was important for the people to gather together as an assembly, as a church, as a group of followers of the way. And it says here that we should continue to do so all the more as we get closer to the day of the Lord. So if it was important in the first century church, and it was, he basically said it's even more important for us than it was for them. And yet, what is our habit and what is our tendency? To meet less. To not know each other. I know when we were doing our training, I asked some specific pointed questions about certain people in our church. What do you know about them? And the answers were pretty much across the board, very little, if anything. We just don't know each other. Let's not forget the importance of this, our family. Let's be thankful for one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This will put it all in perspective. You know this passage very well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 14 is where I'll start. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. jumping ahead all the way to verse 26, because you understand the gist of where we're going. Concluding the thought, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. One of the things I used to say in light of this is if you stub your toe, the toe doesn't seem all that important until you stub it on the door jamb or some other thing. Suddenly that toe seems pretty important, doesn't it? It's amazing how difficult it is to plant and step and throw a football if your toe is hurting, or so I've heard. That was kind of a slam on the Packers, by the way. But it's true. I've had turf toe before. It's painful. You'd be amazed how much that hurts when the toe hurts. Well, let's just be quite honest. If you feel like you're just a toe in this body, I mean, first of all, you might want to rethink that. I don't even know how that relates to the body of Christ. But if you think you're not important, you are important. When you hurt, we hurt. No matter what part it is. It's important to have all parts working together. And so we are thankful, I pray, for one another. It says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. That is so important to grasp and understand. So we are thankful in everything. We are thankful in every prayer. Did I read Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 yet? Did I skip that by accident, or did I read it? I did not read it. I need to read that because I skipped one. So let's do that one. Sorry upstairs for messing up our nice chronological order. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Yeah, I read that. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. In peace with God, which transcends all understanding. So we're thankful in everything, thankful in every prayer, thankful for every believer. And now finally, we are thankful for a finished work. And I preached on this just recently, so this is a refresher. Thankful for a finished work. Philippians, since we're already there, that works out nice. Philippians 1, verse 3 through verse 6. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I am thankful that he is going to finish the work he started in you, in me. God will carry his work in you to completion. He will continue to do so until Jesus comes, even if you are refined by fire. And sometimes we are. We go through the challenges of this life. The circumstances may not be good, but we're thankful he is with us. We're thankful in all things. We're thankful for one another, and we're thankful that he's not giving up on us. He's not giving up on you, and together we will complete what he has begun. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close? And I want to encourage you to go into this time of Thanksgiving with your family and bring this to the table. Bring this concept to the table. It's okay to point out the challenge. It's okay to say this isn't easy. Matter of fact, it's really, really hard. But it's a great opportunity to testify before your family, and if you have friends that join you, to say God is good all the time. And I'm thankful he's always with me no matter what I face. I have peace when it doesn't even make sense because of how good he is. Lord God, we're thankful that we can trust you in all things. We're thankful that we can be thankful. Help us to remember how. To change our perspective, to be intentional about our perspective of the challenges we face in this life and the good times we have in life. That we will just be thankful people, just filled with your joy, joy and your peace. And I know that there'll be many traveling this week all across the land. May there be safety on the roads. May there be a joyous spirit of your love around the tables. May it not be a time of hectic, busy, intensities and emotions, but may it be a time of love and fellowship. And may it be something that can be looked upon as a celebration of your love. We just give you thanks and continue to ask for your guidance in our lives in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you back next Sunday.